This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Philip. Moving on now, though, to a very familiar sound that you may have been hearing this week or throughout. So for those who for those who don't know where that's from, it's the theme song from the most watched show on Netflix at the moment, Squid Games. In fact, in the last few years, this Korean wave from Oscar winner Parasite, best-selling band BTS, to even cosmetics giant Amore Pacific and conglomerate Hyundai, all these brands have turned South Korea into a leading soft power.
While initially dealt a weak hand by virtue of its location, it has managed to become the 10th largest economy in the world, and its influence has grown significantly in the past decade. Now, streaming giant Netflix has set up two studios and already has produced 80 films and series since 2016, investing hundreds of millions of dollars into creating original content in the country. Now, a fun fact here, the Oxford English Dictionary recently added more than 20 new words of Korean origin to its latest edition.
What's an example of a word?
Bibimbap.
Oh,
bibimbap.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That has gone into English lexicon now.
It has
now.
Gone into English lexicon.
What is that spicy vegetable thing which they eat?
Kimchi.
Kimchi, that's the one.
My God, you live in a cave, honestly. So the question
now...
The question now is, how will South Korea leverage its newfound power to further its interests and expand its international influence?
So for more on this, we have with us Professor Kim Kyung-hyun, professor of East Asia Studies at the University of California, Irvine. Good morning, Professor Kim. Thanks so much for speaking with us. So we've really seen Korean entertainment products from movies to music gain tremendous popularity over the past decade. What makes the Korean industry such a significant global influencer at this stage?
Well, I think in many ways, Korean cinema, music, other cultural phenomena that you probably wouldn't have heard about so much, literature, theater, and so on, have been deeply influenced by the American culture for over 75 years now. It's probably the only region in Asia that is really heavily influenced comprehensively. And this is, for better or for worse, one of the dramatic impact that has resulted in such a huge, I think, payoff worldwide. This Korean music, Korean cinema, Korean dramas and such.
Yeah, Prof, it's not just entertainment as well. It's also in sports and it's also in, as you say, music. I mean, we've seen huge Korean, traction in terms of women's golf, for example, in Premiership football in the UK. When did this inflection point start? When South Korea really took over from Japan's mantle in terms of the Asian soft power leadership role?
I think probably as Korea had, there were two things. I mean, democratization for South Korean society, obviously, 1980s, and the Olympics that took place in 1988 was a big turning point. The two coincided with basically economic miracle that was taking place at that particular point. So economic prosperity had cashed in. You know, this incredible kind of impulse of democratic power. And that was about 30 years ago. That was a huge turning point, I think, for South Korean cinema, music, drama, television, and so on, that enjoy such openness in society.
Prof, you make it sound as if this whole movement was organic, but actually it might have been orchestrated as well by the role of the government. Which played a more influential role in the South Korean soft power rise?
I think both. I think both. I mean, if you look at the past presidential administration, I think Kim Dae-jung, the Nobel Prize winner, around 2000 was instrumental in talking about the soft power and actually investing heavily in the film industry and the music industry. So he started the agencies, gave out tens of millions of dollars to set up not only subsidy programs, but also educational programs, right? So Korean University of the Arts, which is probably the best known university in Korea that supports musicians and artists and filmmakers. I mean, that really started with Kim Dae-jung government 20 years ago. But it also had to do with commercial, I think, aspects of people really driven to profit and sell and market those contents that are malleable for the people.
So let's just talk about market. How large is the industry and how much does it contribute to Korea's economy?
Oh, you know, it's really difficult to tell in terms of the actual figure of what comprises music industry per se, opposed to the film industry. But, you know, I mean, some of the numbers are astounding, right? I mean, one of the figures that gets tossed around quite a bit, especially in terms of Squid Game, Netflix has invested, what, $500 million, you know, just this year alone to the Korean film industry. And that's astounding if you think about it, because Korean theatrical gross numbers is only about $1 billion. So with Netflix, such a global conglomerate, now, you know, capable of actually investing half the size of Korean theater box office receipt, I think is astounding. And also a lot of these figures, I don't know how real and actual they may be, but BTS, you know, contributing $5 billion per year in terms of economic impact, that is amount to, I don't know, 0.5% of the Korea's entire economy. I mean, those are some of the figures that I think, you know, floated around quite a bit these days.
So we're seeing South Korea really rise up in global pop culture. But do you think that this will give them leverage in order to influence national policy and geopolitical tensions? I mean, we have seen BTS make an appearance at the United Nations. I don't know, does this actually lend more credibility to South Korea as a geopolitical power or mediator, do you think?
In my mind, yes. But, you know, it still is subservient to the larger, I think, economic and military and political neighbors. When China sneezes, you know, Korean film industry or music industry catches a cold, right? So it's very difficult to say that it has a leverage. You know, cultural soft power has, yes, I think, impact and influence, but only to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prof, does the South Korean soft power strategy offer a template for the rest of ASEAN? In fact, you know, specifically someone like Malaysia, because obviously the soft power has huge economic ramifications.
Yes, sure. And I hope to see more countries, not just Korea, South Korea being the soft power influencer of the world, but, you know, other Asian countries as well. I mean, it's been a while since I watched anything that has come out of Thailand or Malaysia or other Southeast Asian countries.
All right, Professor Kim, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Professor Kim Kyung-hyun, Professor of East Asia Studies at the University of California, Irvine, talking to us about Hallyu, or the Korean wave of entertainment that is, you know, spanning the globe, really. It's got global appeal.
There's no better demonstration of soft power when the president uses BTS to open the United Nations General Assembly. There's no better demonstration of soft power there.
Yeah, the value of soft power to a country's and its economy is beyond question. And I think a lot of emerging markets have not cottoned on to this yet, right? Take, for example, the UK. In fact, Britain specifically with the Beatles, right? The Beatles were a thing in the 60s, 50 years ago. Today, half a century later, the economy that spans the Beatles and John, Paul, Ringo, you know, it's still ginormous. Just the other day, I was reading that some universities in the UK are offering Beatles studies because then, you know, people who graduate from this course can go on and become tour guides in Liverpool. I mean, this is the longevity and the impact of just one particular brand.
Well, that's where the question is. Actually, countries are also beginning to have their own national brands.
Absolutely.
So this is actually one of the subsets of this bigger theme. And actually, Malaysia has also previously tried to embark in developing its own national brand.
Well, you see, it's failed miserably, right? Look at South Korea. It's just in sports as well, right? I mean, it's Park Seo-ri in female golf, Son Heung-mun at Tottenham Hotspurs. You had Psy from a few years ago, from the first guy to hit a billion views on YouTube.
Let's not say failed, Chuang. Let's say that this is still a work in progress. We're still trying to find what is that national brand that could get us, you know, to be as influential as South Korea is today. We still have time, I think. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.